Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
And that's it. It's 100 for Kevin O'Brien. The hero of Bangalore is the maestro of Malahide. Magnificent stuff from Kevin O'Brien. His third century for Ireland. Has there been a better one? We know that 113 beat England in Bangalore, but this is on the test stage, and Kevin O'Brien is on to 101.
John Kenny has been waiting for that line for the last hour. I wouldn't tell any of us. The maestro of Malahide.
Good stuff. Alan Lewis and John Kenny loving life on Sky Sports yesterday as Kevin O'Brien made history in Malahide. Things didn't go as well today. O'Brien went out in his first ball, and in the end, Pakistan won by 5 wickets. But it has been a very impressive and credible first performance by Ireland on their entry to the Test Match Arena. And we are delighted to say that we have got, naturally, the man of the match, Kevin O'Brien, on the line. Kevin, congratulations. We'll get into your own performance in a moment, but maybe just sum up these couple of days, having a Test match for Ireland on Irish soil. What's it been like?
Yeah, it's been absolutely kind of crazy over here. You know, we've had the first day when we all thought we were going to get out and get presented with the caps, you know, absolutely lashing rain on Friday, and then, you know, the play was suspended, and then you had to wait an extra 24 hours. And Saturday morning, you know, woke up and it was blue skies and sunny, and we knew we'd get out there from ball one. So, you know, it was just such an exciting time. Very, very proud moment for all of us within the squad. You know, and of course, the fans were behind us from ball one. It was a great atmosphere all four days that we played. Unfortunately, as you said, we came out on the wrong side of a very closely fought game.
I was reading, I think it was in the Sunday Independent, that on Friday when caps were handed out, there were a few tears. I'm sure it was slightly a flat afternoon in a way because of the rain, but there were a few tears. It was an emotional day, it seems, for a lot of people to get those first test caps.
Yeah, definitely. The caps were only handed out Saturday morning before play from Andrew White, who's the chairman of selectors. Yeah, and of course, you know, a lot of guys had dreamed about playing test cricket from a very early age, you know, and to finally realise and fulfil their dreams, you know, joining a very small list of players who've played test cricket. You know, it was a rich reward for the amount of work that each individual had put in over those last number of years. So, there were certainly a few tears held back for sure within the group. You know, just getting goosebumps now myself thinking about getting that cap on Saturday morning.
So I think it's about 7 years ago now since you smashed the quickest World Cup 100 against England. So on Monday, yesterday, it's a completely different proposition, obviously. You're at the crease for about 5 hours and you were 118 not out. Take us through it, hour by hour. When did you start to realise, I'm feeling pretty good here, I'm feeling comfortable here? Did you set out at a fast pace, or did you kind of settle into it, or how did it go for you?
To go back to your first part of the question, yeah, it's a long time since the World Cup in India, 7 years since my last 100 for Ireland. So I suppose it's very satisfying for me to finally get that little monkey off my back. It's been a long time since I last reached 3 figures for my country, so it's obviously a proud moment for me as well. But yeah, no, just in terms of my innings, you know, I felt very, 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 very good in the first innings, you know, until I, you know, played a slightly rash shot and threw away a potentially higher score. So that was in my mind when I was batting on Monday, you know, if I wasn't fortunate enough to get in and spend some time at the crease, not to give it away as easily as I did on Sunday. So, yeah, that was there in the back of my mind. But yeah, no, the wicket was very good. You know, and for me, I just looked to try to stay as positive as I could in terms of trying to score off as many balls as I could. So I wasn't hitting as many fours as I probably people think of me hitting. But you know, certainly myself and Stuart, we just looked to rotate the strike and, you know, keep the scoreboard ticking over. But it was a very, very tiring day emotionally and physically, mentally as well. You know, the crowd was superb here. you know, it must have it sounded like about 8,000 or 9,000, you know, cheering me on when I was in the 90s. I was absolutely nervous as hell, you know, kicking it down one run at a time. So, you know, the crowd were cheering and everything, everyone I got, and, you know, it was just a very satisfying and you know, just a kind of weight off my back when I hit those two runs and got onto the 101. So, yeah, just a very, very proud time for me, and, you know, hopefully in the future there's a few more to come.
Yeah, Kevin, you can actually now claim, at the close of play yesterday, you can actually claim to be the greatest batsman of all time, because you did actually at the close of play have the greatest ever batting average of any cricketer that's ever played Test match cricket. So that's a nice little one for you to have. You can always say that. You retire at the top, that's it.
Exactly. If I had have been fortunate enough to not hit that first ball to the fielder today, you know, and I ended up on 130 odd not out, I certainly would have retired this afternoon with a batting average of 170. So,
Kevin? So, what's that like coming out when you've played so well yesterday and you're coming out? You're obviously a little bit colder coming out this morning. So, what's that like when you've actually had such a good innings yesterday and you're coming out? You're trying to obviously replicate what you've done. Is it more the mindset you're just trying to get right, trying to do the same things you were doing yesterday, or how difficult is it to try to get back to that level again?
Yeah, it's something that I've actually struggled quite a lot with. Well, a few times in my kind of first class career, any time I remember of being not out overnight, I usually lose my wicket very quickly the next day for some reason or not. It's more of a mental thing, I think, you know, of course, last night there was such a, you know, buzz around Twitter and my emails were going left, right and centre, you know, like 45 text messages, 100 Facebook messages to, you know, trying to reply to people, and, you know, it was hard to forget about yesterday, even though it was such a momentous occasion for me and the team. You know, it was hard for me to kind of park that and try and look forward today. So that was probably the one thing that potentially, if I had my time again this morning, apart from chasing a ball that pretty much wasn't on the wicket, I probably would have tried to forget yesterday as quickly as I could. That's cricket. That's one of the skills you need to play Test cricket and to be successful at it is forgetting what's happened in the previous session or the previous over and just continue to look forward to the next event.
It's difficult though, because it is such a momentous thing. And to put it in context, not all of us are cricket aficionados, but if you're going by in countries' inaugural test matches, the number of players who previously, before you did it yesterday, have reached the hundreds, you're talking three players in 141 years. So it was a momentous thing to do in a country's first test match in front of a home crowd. I'm sure even just staying patient might have been difficult, because, you know, it's interesting you even say you didn't hit as many fours as you wanted to. So that was even, you were dealing with that kind of pressure as well. I'm very curious, even just concentrating for 5 hours, there's not many sports where you're out there for 5 hours. I mean, I guess golf, but you have a lot of time in between shots. Can you switch off? Or how do you juggle that?
I think that, you know, that's key in cricket, you know, because, you know, test matches, you start at 11 o'clock, sometimes you don't finish till 6:30, 7 o'clock. So, I mean, you get 40 minutes for lunch and 20 minutes for tea. But other than that, so that's an hour off the play. I mean, you literally cannot concentrate for that amount of time every single time, every single ball. So you do need a switch on, switch off technique. You know, that's something that I've just worked with over the last, 10 years or so. You know, even in one day cricket, a 50 over game, you know, it's still 3.5 hours. You know, if you're concentrating in the field for 3.5 hours and then you have to go in a bat for 3.5 hours, you're going to be absolutely fried from the end of the match. So,
yeah. And what's
even
your,
what's in the field, you need a switch on, switch off technique. And of course, when you're batting, you certainly need it. So, yeah, it's something that, you know, we all kind of work on. You know, we all have our own different unique ways of doing this. You know, a lot more different than others.
Yeah, you might tell us about yours if you don't mind. Is there a trigger? When do you switch off, and what do you do to switch yourself back on?
There's a couple of things I do. You know, just in between each ball, you probably would have noticed yesterday, I kind of walk over the square leg. Square leg is the umpire who's behind the batter in lines and stumps. So I kind of just switch. Walk over to him, you know, I might kick the ground a couple of times, just flick away a bit of muck, you know, look up into the sky, watch a plane fly past, you know, see if I can see someone in the crowd or something while the bowler's walking back to his mark. once he kind of gets back to his mark and ready to kind of turn and bowl, I'll get in front of my stumps and in my crease and my stance, and you know, and I'll just, you know, say a couple of things to my head in my head, and then just play that ball and then just try and repeat process, that kind of process. Yeah. So
what are you saying in your head?
I say, watch the ball, balcony boy. It's just a little thing I've had since 2007, which won't mean much to your listeners, but it means a hell of a lot to me.
Balcony boy, watch the ball, balcony boy.
Watch the ball, balcony boy, yeah.
Are you balcony boy?
No, balcony boy is, we did a lot of work with Jeremy Snape, who's a psychologist in the lead up to the 2007 World Cup, and he spoke about balcony boy being the little person on your shoulder after you get out and you're sitting in the change rooms with your pads off and you're sitting down there and you're just sitting in your seat in the change rooms, and then you just go to yourself, why the hell did I do that? So that's balcony boy trying to tell me not to do something rash and stupid, but listen, it doesn't always work as today's shown, but you know, it's worked for me in the past, so hopefully I can continue to do it and be fairly successful.
How difficult was it to manage expectations around it, not just from within the squad, but around the squad as well, coming into the match?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, there weren't that much expectations on us as a team. You know, we were going into the game as fairly complete underdogs. And, you know, our first ever test match, you know, a bunch of players who have had a decent success at first class level in England with counties, but you know, this is the next step up. You know, this is World Cup football. You know, this is the pinnacle of the sport. So like, to be honest with you, not many people would have expected us even to take the game into day five as we did.
Yeah.
Of course, the first day being rained off obviously helps. But you know, we showed a hell of a lot of courage and fight out there, especially in the second innings when we were well behind the eight ball, you know, and William and Ed Joyce, you know, started off our second innings tremendously well, and finished up Sunday night, finished up day three, in a great position at 65 for none. So, yeah, the expectation was probably fairly small from within the group, but certainly, you know, the eyes of the cricketing world were watching the test match, and I suppose a lot of people were probably nervous to the fact that ourselves and Afghanistan have been introduced to test cricket, like, and a lot of people would probably think, are we actually good enough to play it? Because it's a different, completely different skill set required for a five-day cricket as opposed to the 50-over game. So I think we probably proved to a lot of people watching that, you know, we're good enough to play at this level. But, you know,
and Kevin,
first win is probably a little bit away, but hopefully it's soon.
You probably just teed up the next question. So the eyes of the cricket world are on this match, and Ireland have to find their way in the test match arena now in terms of how many matches they're going to play a year, who they're going to play against. Was it important to actually put in a credible performance to give Pakistan a reasonable test and let everybody know that you're credible opponents with a view to making further matches against other opposition? Or would that have just happened anyway? Would it have no bearing either way?
I don't know. I think from a couple of points, you know, firstly, the point of you know, securing games in the future with teams, you know, of equal standard as Pakistan or even better. You know, it's, you know, teams want to, if a team is touring England, for example, South Africa or India, for example, are touring England, you know, maybe instead of playing a first-class county over in England, like the likes of Leicestershire or Northamptonshire in a three-day friendly game, you know, if they know that they're going to come to Ireland and get a good game of cricket on good conditions, you know, similar conditions to England, and they're going to get a proper game, you know, they're going to warm to the opportunity to come over here. So that was a very important point for us to make to the other countries around the world. Listen, come here, play us. You know, you're going to get a great game. You're going to get a good crowd. You're going to get, you know, a noisy atmosphere, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I think from the point of the players, you know, it's very encouraging to see that, you know, listen, we can play against the best players in the world. in five-day cricket, you know. So there's no reason for us to be fearful or worried about, you know, if we play India next year or if we play, you know, West Indies next year or whoever it may be, you know. Yeah. That, listen, we've toughed it out with a very, very, very good Pakistan side. And, you know, we've come close to securing a draw with the weather. We also came close to getting a victory if we had an extra 40 or 50 runs. So
yeah, I guess
that was a very important issue as well.
You don't get many chances to make a first impression, I suppose. And so what are we going to do about this weather? What are your plans? Are you going to sort out the Irish weather on an ongoing going forward? Can we get something done here?
I suppose actually a quite interesting tweet there. I think it might have been on Friday when the rain was pouring down when I was back in the hotel. There was some football stadium in, I think, Switzerland or something. I retweeted it anyway. And they have a pitch that slides in under a roof stadium. So that just makes complete sense to me. If someone can build us a stadium like that, that's perfect. Solves all the problems.
Free of cost.
Yeah, of course.
Great. Well, listen, congratulations. I mean, again, you've joined just three other people in history. What an amazing introduction to Test match cricket. Like the whole office yesterday, myself and Kev were running out doing interviews elsewhere, so we couldn't quite watch it and appreciate it in all its glory. But the office was gripped, and I was kind of thrilling for everybody to see you and Ireland do so well. So well done. I don't know what's coming up next for you. Anything big on the horizon in the next couple of weeks, months?
Well, we've got India here in two T20 internationals in Malahide, and that's on the 27th and 29th of June. So nice. That's going to be a massive, you know, occasion for us and a massive occasion for the cricket lovers in Ireland, you know, to see arguably the best team in the world at the moment in T20 format, especially, you know, the likes of Virat Kohli and, you know, just the amount of world stars they have, Suresh Raina, you know. These players are just, you know, superstars in India. They're millionaires around the world, and they're coming here to play us in two games. So that's massive for us. Before that, we've got a tri-series in Holland against Scotland, ourselves and Holland in T20 cricket as well. So it's great preparation leading into those two India games.
Great. Well, listen, you and Balcony Boy, keep it going.
Yeah, I will do, yeah. I'll tell him to say hi.
Good luck.
Kevin O'Brien, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.